When we establish a quorum, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Cannella, Leyva, Leyva here, Mitchell.
Here.
Mitchell here, Runner.
Here.
Runner here, De Leon.
Here.
De Leon here.
Okay, we've established a quorum. We'll wait for Mr. Cannella to come. We're going to move on with file item number one. That is the bill referrals. Can I get a motion? We have a motion made by Ms. Mitchell. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Cannella, Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Runner.
Aye.
Runner, aye. De Leon.
Aye.
De Leon, aye.
Okay. That passes in a 4-0 vote. We're going to keep the roll open for Mr. Cannella. Why don't we go to file items number three? If you had an opportunity to review file items number 3 through 17, file items 3 through 17, I'll give you a moment to review if you haven't. Madam Vice Chair, is that file item number 4 specifically?
Yes.
Okay. 4 and 5. Okay. Okay. Would it be okay, Madam Chair, and I'll leave it entirely up to you, we can do two things. We can do a vote on files items number 3 through 17 with the caveat that file items number 4 as well as number 5 will be exclusive committee bills and not be used for any other reason. I can pull out 4 and 5 and then we can do a vote on that again. Either way, I'll make sure that it's on the record.
I just wanted to make a comment on 4 and 5.
Sure, go ahead.
Basically, you know, it gives Senator Hill 45 bills. I'm concerned that they would have a sunset on those bills because that's right.
Okay, so what we do, if you feel comfortable, what we'll do is we'll split it, we'll separate it, we'll form
okay.
5. We'll put that to the side, and we'll go right now to file number 3, as well
okay.
as 6 through 17.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Can I get a motion? File item number 3, 6 through 17. We have a motion made by Ms. Leyva. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Cannella.
Aye.
Cannella, aye. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Runner.
Aye.
Runner, aye. De Leon.
Aye.
De Leon, aye.
Okay, we have a 5-0, so it passes. Go back to file item number 1. Let's open the roll. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Cannella.
Aye.
Cannella, aye.
Passes on a 5-0 vote. We're going to go to file item number 4 as well as 5. Okay, we have a motion made by Ms. Mitchell. File item number 4 as well as 5. Another comment? Are you okay?
Well, just last year we had an example of Senator Hill not using the sunset only, so
okay,
we'll just want to make note of that.
Keep a close eye on him.
Okay.
Okay. File items 4 and 5. We have motion made by Ms. Mitchell. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Cannella.
Aye.
Cannella, aye. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Runner.
Aye.
Runner, aye. De Leon.
Aye.
De Leon, aye.
Okay, 5-0. We're going to go to file item number 2, which is an appointee before us. That's Mr. Russell Nichols, who is the Director, Division of Enterprise Information Services, Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, which I guess is the IT for prisons for
That's
California.
Correct.
Okay, Mr. Nichols, welcome. Why don't you,
thank you
give
much.
Us a statement. If there's any folks you'd like to introduce, family, loved ones, please do so.
Yes, thank you. I do have a number of special guests that I'd like to introduce. The first is my wife of 17 years, Tanya Nichols.
Ah, welcome.
Also with us today are both of my daughters, both of our daughters, Gabriella and Alexandra.
Gabriella and Alejandro, Alexandra.
From middle school to join us today.
Ah.
Also my mother, Catherine Nichols, has traveled from out of state to join us today. Unfortunately, my father was not able to, so Bill Nichols is not here. And my father-in-law, Chuck Gomes, is also here.
Chuck Gomes. Pleasure. Is that Portuguese? Gomes. Okay. Not Gomez. It's Gomes.
It's
Portuguese. Okay. Well, welcome to the Nicholas family and your father-in-law from the Gomes
Thank
side
you.
Of the family. So.
On the other side of the aisle is my other family, my work family, CDCR. With us today I have Undersecretary Kenneth Pogue, Undersecretary Diana Tosh, Directors Brian Byron and Chris Applegate. Also my deputy directors, Paul Smith and Devin Holmes, and a selection of other CDCR staff that I presume are here to support me.
Very well indeed. Welcome, Mr. Nichols. We look forward to your statement.
Thank you. Throughout my career, I've always been drawn to public safety and law enforcement type of organizations. While I've worked at many, those have been the things that have drawn my interest. Ultimately, I've always wanted to work in organizations that make a long-lasting and positive impact on the lives of the people that we serve. I've been very fortunate in my career, beginning with the United States Marine Corps through the last 6 years at Department of Corrections, to work in organizations that could do that and work with a series of very strong leaders that have taken me under their wing and have acted as mentors and coaches for me to teach me the skills and the knowledge that I need to be successful in this current job. I've also been very fortunate to work in an era in which technology has blossomed. It's gone from a nuance or nice to have to now a critical piece of every line of business. There are really a lot of things that we couldn't do without technology, and we really treat that as a necessary tool in the Department of Corrections. Within our department, our mission is really focused on three primary things. The first is safety and security. Without safety and security, none of the other processes that we perform can be as successful as they need to be. It is the foundation. That safety and security isn't just for our inmates, it's also for our staff, our visitors, vendors that come on site, and really extends into the communities and the constituents of California. Our next major pillar is rehabilitation. With over 90% of our offenders ultimately transitioning back into the community, it's imperative that we provide them with the tools that they need, with the counseling services, with education, with job skills, family skills, life skills to be successful once they make that transition. And the third major pillar is that transition. Whether it's affected through our parole organization, through county probation, or through outside service providers, that transition from incarceration out into the communities and back into their lives is a very difficult and essentially dangerous transition for them. There are a lot of things that can trip people up, and it's our job to help them be successful and reduce the risk of them reoffending and coming back into the incarceration system. We also operate a lot of things outside of those three pillars. We operate healthcare, we operate firefighting, facilities. Essentially, we run 38 little cities around the state, 35 for adults and 3 for juveniles. And in each one of those cities, we offer everything from entertainment to education services, water purification to power generation. All of those things take technology, and all of those things are now dependent on the technology tools that we can provide to them. In the past 5 years, we've introduced a whole bunch of technology at the Department of Corrections that has improved efficiency, improved outcomes, and improved the effectiveness of our programs. We've reduced paper-based processes, which ultimately reduce the time it takes for any process to come to culmination. It reduces the chance of lost information or many hands on things and dropping things in the middle. That includes HR systems that now allow us to hire our IT staff and our state staff much more quickly. Vendor payment systems that have virtually eliminated late payment penalties for the state, which for the Department of Corrections was a huge item. And the elimination of C files or central files for offenders. They were often an obstacle in processes because it took so long to get the information into the hands of the staff that needed to have them. We've also introduced systems related to visitation. An offender's family now can schedule a time to come in for visitation rather than being first come, first served. It used to be that they had to line up outside of the gate of a prison and hope to get in. Now they can essentially schedule an appointment. So it's greatly reduced the burden on the family. It's also reduced the burden on the community around the prison because they don't have people lining up in areas where they're not prepared to host those families. We've also decreased the amount of time it takes to implement changes. So as an example, last year when we modified the credit earnings rate for nonviolent second strikers, we were able to implement that change and ultimately recalculate the sentences for all of our offenders overnight. It's an effort that used to take months to go through file by file, one at a time, and recalculate those sentences by hand. So it took it literally from months down to hours. I feel very fortunate to work in an organization with the other executives and other directors that feel the same way I do. They feel like technology is absolutely a tool necessary to achieve the outcomes that we need to achieve in the department. They've been very supportive of me and address me as a partner, as a solution provider, and as someone that can help them achieve the goals that they have within their individual organizations. And with that, I'd like to thank the committee for welcoming me in today. I'd like to thank Governor Brown for the appointment and making this possible. I'd like to thank the CDCR staff for all of the support that they give me throughout the department, and especially my IT staff up and down the state, who work tirelessly as a part of the solution and really support the mission of the department. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nichols. We will start with someone who has a lot of experience on the issue of rehabilitation, family experiences as well, too, with regards to the corrections system in California. We'll start with Senator Mitchell.
Yeah, I don't have experience having been a resident of the Department of Corrections. I just wanted to clarify that, Mr. Pro Tem.
That's a very good clarification.
Nor is my family either. But thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Policy experience and application.
Thank you. I just thought I should clarify. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate the opportunity. Just a couple quick questions for me. Since joining the legislature, the bane of our collective experience with regard to technology in state departments has really been contract and cost overruns and what I will call misaligned technology, technology that when the contract was initially crafted was designed with an intent to do A, and over time, sometimes lots of time before it could come online, the needs have changed, whatever the case may be. And so we spent a lot of time in this context as Rule Committee members really asking questions, clarifying questions, really trying to hold leaders accountable to their IT projects. So having said that, my two questions will really kind of focus on your, is SOMS the way you pronounce the acronym?
Yes.
Your SOMS contract. I really appreciate you outlining for Rules Committee staff the original contract value, what the cost increase have been, and why. And secondly, I just have a quick question on your electronic health record system and how you think they'll merge. So are you were able to outline why we've had the cost overrun since the original contract was negotiated in 2009. The additional work, I appreciate you valuing the cost savings as a result of the expanded kind of contract and technology. Any additional concerns you have on a go-forward basis now in terms of that contract?
In terms of that particular contract?
Mm-hmm.
So with the SOMS system, we brought in a systems integrator like many projects do to implement the system.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the problem with large projects is when you sign that contract and it's a 5, 6, 7 year contract, things change in flight.
And you don't know what you don't know.
Technology changes, rules and regulations change. And in this particular case, one of the best examples is we did AB 109, a public safety realignment, right in the middle of that project. It changed a lot of the requirements that were in the original contract.
Right.
We also were dealing with healthcare issues with the Plata Court. So as we went through that project, we really tuned it to affect the outcomes and get to what I would call a successful conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Directly to your question, do we have concerns moving forward? What we implemented is really what I would call a modified off-the-shelf system. In other words, it was not built custom for California.
Mm-hmm.
It is a standardized system that is based on ACA, American Correctional Association type practices.
Mm.
There are a lot of things that are tuned for California. For example, our sentencing rules are different than any other state. But count practices, bed assignments, visitation processes, a lot of things are very much the same.
Mm-hmm.
So as we move forward, the vendor that provides that system will continue to update that because they have customers well beyond California, many other states.
Mm-hmm.
We will have to continue in a relationship with them. It is actually they own the software.
Mm-hmm.
We own the data and all of the processes that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
But we are kind of their foundational customer. We are the biggest that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a presence with us on site to continue maturing that system and continue to expand it to meet the needs of California.
And they have a vested interest, given their reputation nationally, to make sure that their largest customer continues to be happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fair enough. With regard to the electronic health records, this really is fascinating because I think you very accurately described your reality. It's 33, in effect, municipalities that run all kinds of aspects of running an institution. So how are you preparing to handle this transition when CDCR will once again take over from the receiver the health record systems that you've built, that's been built under the, I guess, guise of the receiver, and how will that then come back within CDCR and then be managed on an ongoing basis?
To a large extent, the IT systems, which include EHRS, are being done collaboratively already.
Mm.
So the transition of the healthcare organization back into CDCR. To a large extent, with technology, we'll have a very small impact. And what I mean when I say that is we team up on these projects, whether it's SOMS or EHRS or a number of other projects. We actually work very collaboratively to build them in the first place. We have groups, and maybe some of the best examples are our security organization, our network operations teams. They're one and the same. We actually commingle those teams. You can't tell who is in which organization, mm-hmm. because we run that foundation as one service for all entities within the organization. So with EHRS, we have actually worked with them to build a bridge between SOMS and EHRS. And what I mean by that is every patient that goes through any mental health, dental, or medical process is an offender that's already tracked in SOMS. There is no reason for healthcare clinicians or staff to re-enter information about that offender that we already know. So we've already built that bridge, that technology exists and is in operation today. Great. It'll continue to grow as we augment both of those systems, but we work very collaboratively on that process now.
One final issue, I'm a budget committee member, and one issue that often comes up in the full Senate Budget Committee is the CDCR budget and our collective expectation that budget should begin to retract, which has not been our experience in the last several years, even given AB 109 and a number of the policy changes that we've put in place to contract that population. Uh-huh. And so are you going to have any issues in your area, your department, as that population continues to decrease? And I'm just asking that because as you open, same technology changes, and I think the legislature is going to have to get used to the reality of what sound, efficient, working technology costs.
Right.
Also wanting to look at that CDCR budget, are you going to be able to manage that and go this way as your population shrinks as well?
The short answer to that, I believe, is yes. We are not in the IT organization so much based on population as we are in the technologies that we bring in. And with all of the things we bring in, we really spend a lot of time to figure out if it is a cost-effective manner to bring in a particular service. A lot of the things that we do, we try to create efficiencies in the department, not necessarily just in IT, but can we redirect workforce that used to be doing a paper process into something that is more valuable for the organization and let some automation do some of that processing behind the scenes. So we really strive to figure out what efficiencies we can introduce and really to create our own capacity to do some of those things. But we struggle with the fact that a lot of our institutions are, you know, very old. A couple of them built in the 1800s, even the new ones built in the, you know, 70s, 80s time frame. They were not set up to run technology. There's a lot of infrastructure thick cement walls and a lot of iron. It's not really conducive to a lot of the technology we have. Things that we take for granted on our cell phones and our iPads as we run around just don't work very well in those institutions. So some of that is expensive and labor-intensive to implement, but ultimately, I believe, will introduce efficiencies into the operation.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Leyva, do you have any questions?
I do not have any questions. I just want to say I enjoyed our time meeting. I think you are the perfect person for the job. I did have a couple questions, but Senator Mitchell and I were on the same page, so thank you very much. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Senator Cannella does not have any questions, I hear. I have a few for you. Regarding the tracking of parolees and sex offenders,
yes.
Does the department have the technical capabilities to ensure parolees are actually living within that 2,000 feet under Jessica's law? I know we had some issues and still continue to have issues to the San Diego decision, if it was just for San Diego or the rest of the state. Apparently, CDCR thinks it's the rest of the state, so we have a bill coming up about that. But do you have the technical ability to do that and watch the GPS and the tracking and the rest of the sex offenders who have GPS monitors?
For the GPS monitors, we actually use an outside provider to do that.
Contract out. Mm-hmm.
And I would have to consult with our Division of Parole to find out the exact parameters. Technology is capable of doing that real time. I don't know about the staffing, mm-hmm. and I would have to defer to our Division of Parole to get a better understanding on that.
Right. So basically, you don't track living within 2,000 feet from a school or a park?
So the systems that we've provided to parole, we provide their case management system that they utilize. So in that system, the parole agents will track the location of the offenders, where they're living, where they work, things along those lines. It would be up to the parole agent to determine if that's within the parameters. We've not been asked at this point to build a system to evaluate that. So I have no information on how viable that is or what the cost would be behind doing that.
Well, they ended up thinking CDCR would be 50% of the people out that were sex offenders would not be have to live under the parameters of the 2,000 feet, but it ended up being like 76% when you guys let us know. So that's a lot of people living next to schools and parks that are sex offenders. So I'm concerned about that. But I think we'll go on and see if there's people in support. Testify.
Hi, I'm Darby Kernan with the California State Association of Counties. We're in support of Mr. Nichols' appointment.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else, your coworkers, want to stand up? Any opposition? Your family hasn't stood up, so I guess that's good. your wife is waving. I don't know. Okay, anybody want to make a motion? Okay, great. Call the roll.
Senators Cannella?
Aye.
Cannella, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Runner?
Aye.
Runner, aye. DeLeon? Keep it open.
Okay, we'll hold the roll open for Senator DeLeon. And congratulations, you got most of us. So right. Only
thank
one missing. Thank your family for all being here. I'm sure your junior high daughter wanted out of school today anyway, right? Yes. Okay, we're going into executive session.